Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And welcome into the latest edition of Blackhawks on Ice. I'm David Schuster, and we're brought to you by DraftKings, and more from our sponsor in just a moment. On this podcast, we'll first recap Wednesday night's game against Toronto, then we'll have some post-game sound, and of course discuss the Hawks and the sexual assault scandal. First to the game, and look who came out like a house on fire for a change. It wasn't the opposition, as the Hawks finally got their first lead of the season 5 minutes in, as Kirby Dach scored on the power play, and then just minutes later, Alex DeBrincat took a pass and scored on a breakaway, so it was Hawks 2-0 after one. We moved to period number two, where the Leafs got on the board 6 minutes in, with John Tavares beating Kevin Lankinen, so it was 2-1 after two. Third period action now, and David Kampf scored against his old team, tying the contest at two apiece, and we moved to overtime, and it was the Leafs who prevailed as William Nylander scored on a breakaway, giving the Leafs the come-from-behind 3-2 victory. They get 2 points on the night, and they keep the Hawks winless on the season now with a record of 0-5-2. And before we get to the rest of this podcast, let me just say that the NBA is back, and at DraftKings Sportsbook, an authorized sports betting partner of the NBA, the key to victory is a strong starting five. New customers can bet just $5 on any NBA team to win their game, and if they do, you win $200 in free bets. So why not make your roster Washington, 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 and oh yeah, Washington. DraftKings Sportsbook customers can also get skin in the game with new same-game parlays. Combine multiple bets from the same game for a bigger payout. The more legs you add, the more money you can win. DraftKings is safe, secure, and reliable. Best of all, you can deposit and withdraw your cash whenever you want. So, download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code TBPN, bet just $5 on any NBA team to win their game and win $200 in free bets. If they win, you win with promo code TBPN this week at DraftKings Sportsbook, an authorized sports betting partner of the NBA. You must be 21 or older, New Jersey, Indiana, or Pennsylvania only, new customers only. Minimum $5 deposit and $1 wager required, one per customer, restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Now to the sexual assault story. And by now you probably have heard that the Hawks organization was involved in that assault story back in the year 2010 before the team won the first of their three Stanley Cups in six seasons. Kyle Beach has now come forward to say he was the player assaulted by former video coach Brad Aldridge. The result of a long investigation by a law firm here in Chicago determined that the Hawks management at the time covered up the story, with the result being that people have now lost their jobs, including general manager Stan Bowman. Let's hear now from a bunch of members of the Hawks organization, and we start with CEO Danny Wirtz.
I also want to share that Stan Bowman has stepped aside. Rocky and I appreciate Stan's dedication to the Blackhawks and his many years of work for the team. However, we and he ultimately accept that in his first year as general manager, he made a mistake alongside our other senior executives at the time and did not take adequate action in 2010. Stan exhibited extreme professionalism and integrity in cooperating in the investigation, more so than his peers, and we cannot overstate the important role Stan played in revisiting that meeting in the report. I believe that if this had happened in 2021, with Stan at the helm, the Stan that I know and we know would have acted differently and been a louder voice in that room. None of the other executives who are involved in the Blackhawks' response in 2010 will be with the organization moving forward. current Vice President of Hockey Strategy and Analytics, Kyle Davidson, will take on the role of Interim General Manager as we begin our search for new hockey operations leadership. We will provide a further statement from Stan following this call. We talk a lot about hockey culture. I believe one of the beautiful parts of our game is the focus on team success over individual achievements and accolades. But that cannot come at the expense of individual safety and well-being. It is clear that in 2010, the executives of this organization put team performance above all else. John Doe deserved better from the Blackhawks. And while we believe we have a strong legal defense, I have instructed our lawyers to see if we can reach a fair resolution consistent with the totality of the circumstances. The Blackhawks are a very different organization than we were in 2010. And I'm not talking about wins and losses. I am confident that this would not be tolerated in our organization today. We deeply regret the harm caused to John Doe and the other individuals who were affected and our failures to promptly address these allegations as we became aware of them. As an organization, we extend our profound apologies to these individuals who suffered from the misconduct of our former employee. We must and will do better. What the Chicago Blackhawks do off the ice is equally as important as anything we do on it. Our family and executive team are committed to ensuring that the Blackhawks adhere to the highest ethical, professional, and athletic standards. We intend to win championships without compromising our integrity. And we hope that we can continue to earn the trust and support of the entire Blackhawks community as we move forward with this as our primary goal.
And key players Patrick Kane and Jonathan Toews also spoke following the game on Wednesday night. Most of the conversation was in regards to the sexual assault story. Here first is Kane.
I haven't watched it yet, but terrible situation and very courageous for him to come out and let his name be known to the world after everything he went through. I knew Kyle pretty well from a couple different training camps. Seemed like a happy-go-lucky guy and always in a good mood. So I think hearing that it was him and with the news and with everything going on, obviously feel for him, compassionate for him and his family. Wish back then we could have done some different things or knew about some different things that maybe we could have helped him.
He had said that he felt like everyone in the locker room knew and that, you know, there were some players he felt, you know, he said that bullied him. Were you aware of that? Is there anything that you guys could have done differently? Or how much did you know?
Yeah, I didn't know anything at the time. And, you know, even today when you know, Kyle came out as John Doe. That's the first time I knew that it was him. So, as far as like the bullying and different comments, I don't remember any of that either. So, I think it was a terrible situation, and obviously feel for him if things were getting thrown his way. You know, tough words, bullying. Different things like that. So, definitely feel for him if that stuff happened.
Okay, Phil, we can come back to you. We'll go to Mark Lazarus with The Athletic. Laz, your mic is active. You can go ahead.
Hey, Patrick. What were your thoughts as everything that went down yesterday, everything you learned in the report about what management did and more importantly, didn't do in 2010? As a player, how did their failures sit with you?
Well, it's tough. I mean, you have a lot of great memories from that year. And, I think just kind of learning the news and how everything went down, definitely could have been handled differently. Most importantly for Kyle's sake, but, it seemed like the organization had to, do what they had to do as far as, making some necessary moves as far as, you know, guys that were with the team back then that were still with the team now and aren't with us anymore. So, you know, listen, I knew Stan very well. I know him as a great man. He did a lot for me personally, coming into the league and just, you know, over the course of my career. I'm sure he probably would have handled things a little bit differently nowadays, but you know, what happened in the past, and I think the organization made the right moves to you know, get the Blackhawks going forward in the right steps and making sure we're trending forward.
Do all these revelations, do they color your memories of that 2010 run in any way?
Color my memories and like,
I mean, does it tarnish it for you in any way?
Well, I think you'll always you know, have special memories from that year. You know, I think the biggest thing was, I think if a lot of us players knew at the time, you know, maybe we could have done some different things. I don't know what we could have done to change the situation. Obviously, Brad wasn't with us after that year. You remember hearing, you know, vaguely some different rumors, but nothing really too into detail what actually happened and why he left. But like I said, it was very vague. But I think you always have good memories from that year. And then now with, you know, everything coming to light, you know, that might maybe overshadow it a little bit.
We'll go now to Ben Pope with the Chicago Sun-Times. Ben, your mic is active. Go ahead.
Hey, Patrick. You mentioned that you knew Kyle Beetz from a few training camps. Just, I wonder if you could go more into what your relationship was like with him.
No, I just remember, you know, he was drafted the year after me, and I remember just going out to eat with him a few times, you know, hanging out with him and Akeem Alou as well. Us three seemed to be together a lot, especially my second year in the league. Would have been Kyle's first training camp, but like I said, just seemed kind of like a happy-go-lucky guy, and always seemed to be in a good mood and joking around with the guys.
Have you had a chance to talk to him yet today, or do you plan to in the coming days?
Yeah, I would like to. I mean, I don't know. I'm sure he probably, I don't know if he wants to hear from us or not, but I would like to. I'd like to, you know, reach out to him and say that, you know, wish I knew more at that time in that situation. If I could have done anything to help him out or not. Obviously he's been living with this a long time, and takes a lot of courage by him to put, you know, his name behind the story.
And the captain, Jonathan Toews, also was grilled by the media.
Obviously, I'm aware of the contents of the report. I haven't read it entirely yet, and just went over briefly some of Kyle's comments just after the game here.
I mean, he's claiming that everybody on the team knew. We've heard a lot of different things from different players. What are your recollections from that spring of 2010?
Listen, I mean, at the end of the day, I don't wish to exonerate myself from this situation anyway by saying that I didn't know. But the truth is that I had not heard about it until training camp the next year. At the end of the day, that doesn't change what happened. It doesn't take that away. It doesn't, you know, make it go away. So, you know, I think, you know, they collectively were, you know, as players, if guys did know, hindsight's 2020. I think we wish we could have done something differently, and myself included. You know, at the end of the day, my heart goes out to Kyle for what he dealt with, and wish I could have done something. And, you know, at the end of the day, it's obviously not an excuse looking back, but the truth is a lot of us were focused on just playing hockey and doing what we're doing every single day. And, you know, if you do hear rumors, it's almost just in the back of your mind. And, you know, now when you go through the detail of it all, it looks ugly, and it's really hard to stomach the fact that you don't dive into something like that a little bit more and take it more seriously on the spot. But it's always easy to say, you know, in hindsight, and obviously it's a long time ago, but you know, at the end of the day, I feel a ton for what Kyle went through and what he's dealing with at this point too. So, you know, I don't know what else to say. And you know, I think the guys that were part of that group all wish they could have done something different.
We'll now go to Scott Powers with The Athletic. Scott, your mic's active. Go ahead, please.
Hey, Jonathan. Kyle had said that he had been bullied and there were homophobic slurs used, you know, toward him then, and also years after that. Were you aware of that? Do you know of players who did that to him?
No. I mean, I can't recall exactly how much time he spent with us here in Chicago, but I would say there was none of that here in Chicago.
As captain, do you look at that time differently now? I mean, you were pretty young, but I guess that some of this stuff may have been happening while you were captain. Do you analyze that any differently?
Well, you know, I think it puts things in perspective. And I think when you're chasing your dream of winning a Stanley Cup, it becomes the only thing. And as they say, winning is everything, and it just consumes your whole world. And you know, obviously it was a special memory in a lot of ways, but when something like this that tarnishes it, it definitely makes you realize that there's more to life than hockey. And in so many ways, this is an unfortunate situation. You know, I think winning the Stanley Cup that year is beside the point. So I think whether we won or not, we wish that this would have been dealt with differently in some ways, probably. We wish we could take it back and it never happened, and young players didn't have to deal with a situation like that. Absolutely. So it's just tough all around. It's tough to say.
We'll now go to Phil Thompson at the Chicago Tribune. Phil, your mic's active. Go ahead, please.
Jonathan, did Jenner and Block reach out to you? And if you did cooperate with them, what did you tell them?
I told him exactly what I told you guys of what I recall, and the specifics of that were a bunch of guys were talking about on the sidewalk outside the hotel, you know, just kind of briefly telling the story. It was the night before training camp started when we would have an organization meeting. I think it was the Sutton Place Hotel at the time, and that was the first time I'd heard of the story. And beyond that, like it was all speculation. And then that was as much as I could remember. So I tried my best, and I'm sure everyone did the same to share what they could to be helpful in the investigation.
And hearing what you might have heard from the report and from the findings, does it change your opinion or your feelings about both the Cup and some of the people that you work with, like Stan Bowman?
What was the first person you mentioned?
The part about the findings from the Jenner and Block report. Does it change your feelings about the Cup or Stan Bowman or any of the people that you work with, the organization?
I mean, to me, the Stan and Al, you know, make any argument you want. They're not directly complicit in the activities that happen. And, you know, it's not up to me to comment on whether they would have liked to deal with it differently or not. I just know them as people, and I've had a relationship and friendship with them for a long time, just being part of the Blackhawks family. And, you know, people like Al and Stan have made coming to the Blackhawks for players around the league who come here to play on this team one of the special places to play hockey. And you know, they're, to me, I have a ton of respect for them as people. And again, how this situation went down, what the timeline was, what they knew, I can't really comment on that. It's obviously a tough day, regardless of the mistakes that may have been made for someone like Stan, who's done so much for the Blackhawks and Al as well, to lose everything they care about and their livelihoods as well. It's just, I don't understand how that makes it go away, to just kind of delete them from existence and that's it. We'll never hear from them again. So I have a lot of respect for them as people. They're good people. And again, when it comes down to how they feel about looking back on the situation, that's not up to me to comment on.
Go to Ben Pope with the Chicago Sun-Times.
Ben, you can go ahead.
Hi, Jonathan. When you did find out at training camp the following year, obviously Aldrich was not with the organization anymore at that point, but did you consider doing anything at that point when you did find out?
I mean, no, not really. I think, to be honest with you, and straightforward, I thought what I heard was the beginning and the end of it, and not that it was a joke, but it was something that wasn't taken super seriously at the time. And you know, I thought Brad being let go or resigning from the organization was the way that it was dealt with, and to me it was water under the bridge. So had I been more connected anywhere to the situation and known, you know, some of the more gory details of it, I like to say, yeah, I would have acted differently in my role as captain for sure.
What was your relationship like with Kyle Beach and his time with the Blackhawks?
I knew him as a kind of happy-go-lucky kid that you know, kind of had a mean streak in junior, and he liked to stir things up and have fun. I think he played kind of a rough style on the ice, and beyond that, I didn't get to know him too well because you never spent too much time in here in Chicago. But it's about all I knew about him as a person, and you know, like I said, I haven't been in contact for quite some time.
And finally, here is Coach Jeremy Colliton.
First of all, I want to clarify. I feel like in my media this morning, I wasn't. When I was talking about the report specifically, I should have been more, I made a mistake in not being more specific about my, first of all, sympathy and admiration for the courage of the victims, you know, of the sexual assaults and, you know, especially certainly Kyle Beach, since we last talked. I mean, him coming on TV and speaking as he did, I haven't seen everything, but I have seen a couple of his quotes, and obviously very powerful, and he needs to be commended, and took a lot, obviously, to go through what he's gone through. And just personally, when I was speaking about the report, and my thoughts on it, it would have been better to be more specific to about the victims, and they deserve to be recognized. And obviously, the organization and the Blackhawks and our team, we know that, you know, obviously that kind of thing can never happen again, and we'll do everything we can to make sure it doesn't. So I just wanted to make sure I got a chance to say that. I don't know if you guys want to talk about the game, but questions I'm ready for.
We'll go to Scott Powers with The Athletic. Scott, your mic's active. Go ahead, please.
Hey, Jeremy. I know you mentioned you only saw a bit of the Kyle Beach interview, but what stood out to you? What hit home with you?
Well, just I think anytime someone speaks about their personal experience and the effect that, you know, obviously it's been a terrible thing that he's gone through. And I mean, he's spoken out personally and put his name on it, but the others involved too. I mean, him speaking out, it kind of shines a light or highlights what undoubtedly the other victims have gone through similarly. So just his courage in putting his name on it and explaining, you know, his own his experience and how it affected him. And I mean, obviously our situation is terrible. I'm sure he's not alone, and there's other situations where people going through similar things that they may he may be an inspiration to them to speak out. And so obviously, again, I deserves a lot of credit.
There are people who wonder, you know, how a video coach had all this power over him. But I guess as someone, you know, who's had to be in this situation, we're fighting for an NHL spot, and, you know, probably, you know, wondering whatever you can do and trying not to offend anyone. Can you understand the situation where he was in, where he could be manipulated?
Well, I mean, it's hard to put myself exactly in his shoes, but I don't want to speak for him, certainly. But you know, obviously everyone wants to, they want to make it, and there's pressure, and you feel like this is your chance. So any position of power is, you know, we got to obviously protect people, and it's up to us in leadership positions to do everything we can to protect those without power. And, you know, it's hard to speak in specific circumstances, and a lot of things in the report, you know, I just learned yesterday, and it's tough to read, as I said earlier today. And it should never happen, obviously. I think we all agree on that.
We'll go now to Ben Pope with the Chicago Sun-Times. Ben, your mic's active. You can go ahead.
Hey, Jeremy. I guess we should ask, what did you think of the game tonight?
Well, I think we did a lot of good things that give ourselves a chance to win. I liked our start. I liked our energy. I think we just played a very mature game, moving pucks ahead, really good close support, hard forechecking, found ways to force turnovers and created offense from that. I thought we were good defensively. I mean, they got some really elite weapons on their team, and they tested us. You know, a lot of their chances came from their power play. Their power play was really dangerous tonight, I thought. We battled. You know, we just didn't kill the game when we had our chances, whether that was, you know, up 2-0, if we can make it that third one, or even in the beginning of the third period, we had the power play, we had a couple posts, we're right there. So hard to go in after the game and talk to the guys when they, I thought they played really hard. They didn't get rewarded with 2 points. 1 point is, you know, it's something to build on, but the only way to get through it is just keep pushing and understand that this adversity is going to make us better in the end.
So once again, the Hawks lost their game on Wednesday night, 3-2 in overtime at the United Center against Toronto, and they now have just 2 points through their first seven games of the still young season. And next up, a couple of games on the road, Friday at Carolina, and then Saturday at St. Louis. Once again, thanks for listening to Blackhawks on Ice.